o'clock on Monday night. Do you know where your Twitter mom's at?
Oh, it's Kiva on Indie Views. It's Kiva Artist Interview. Right now on Butterflies
Radio,
where it's all indie all the
Welcome to this week's Butterflies Radio Indie Views Artist Spotlight, featuring the MSI Hit List winner for July, Dylan Locke. Dylan is from Canada and really has a really great, fabulous sound. His song that won the whole thing was Killer and Sin, and that will be the first song that leads off the show tonight. We have two new songs from Dylan, and the other songs are off his album, Lockstar. I was really pleased to get to talk to him. He had a lot of great things to talk about as far as the songwriting process, the playing, his outlook on things, and different experiences. He has probably one of the best stories from the road stories that I've ever heard that kind of changed the way he looks about everything. So enjoy my show with Dylan and his music. Give him some feedback. Like I said, I really enjoyed it, and I really want to thank Rich Wildman from MSI and his whole group that listens to all the song submissions and picks winners' songs of the week, and then ultimately the hit list winner each month. And it's getting close to the end of the year, and everybody who's gotten hit list winner will be up for Artist of the Year, and I really look forward to that.
Okay, hey, Rich, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Kiva. How are you?
Good. We've been talking a lot lately between Indie News at Noon and Hit List Winners. I get to talk to you all the time.
That's quite all right. I really enjoy it. And, you know, good working relationship makes for happy people.
It does, and it is. And I'm so happy to work with you and MSI. And this week we're talking about Dylan Locke, that Hit List winner. And if you want to tell everybody a little bit about Dylan.
I sure will. Dylan is a very talented man. He's got a very unique voice. I think you'll hear it when you hear the track Killer and Sin that is what won the hit list of for him in July. In fact, his song was first heard by our panel back on the 9th of June, and he was up against some tough competition with Kim Kondrashov, Kay Blitz, Amory Blue, and V-Tine, or excuse me, not V-Tine, I'm sorry, I was in a different month there, but the Cruise Controllers. And it was a tough decision. It was a big month for us. We had five songs instead of our normal four, and Dylan, Lockstar, Killer and Sin came out on top, well-deserved win, and the guy's got a classic sound to his voice. That's the amazing part about it.
He really does, and it kind of does harken back to, you know, classic rock and him growing up with that. And, you know, that came through, that influences him. And we talked about the fact that, you know, when he goes to songwriting, he listens to a lot of that. He listens to Queen. He listens to the Beatles.
Wonder,
you know, he's done covers of that, too.
Yeah, I wonder if he's ever heard of a group called the Guess Who, because that's who his voice actually reminds me of.
I don't know. We'll have to ask him about that. That's very. It does sound like that. He's another great Canadian artist that MSI has provided for my show over the past year. Canada has a really great music scene, but there's been several that have won the hit list, and he's another one.
Well, I'll agree with you. I mean, when it really comes down to it, a lot of good music comes out of Canada, and there is no question in that. I have to wonder whether or not it has to do with the weather.
Yeah, I wonder if they have a long winter, so a lot of time to songwrite.
Exactly. A lot of time to stay inside and record music, and I think that's a great thing. I may move to Canada.
I know. They put out really great stuff. So, yeah, I really enjoyed Dylan. He's a great person, great musician, and just he was really fantastic to talk to. So I really enjoyed him a lot, and I look forward to everybody hearing that interview. And thank you again for providing Dylan and all the hit list winners that you provide every month.
But we're happy to do it. We really are. And look forward always to more great artists over at MSI Music Scene Investigation every Sunday, the hit list every second Wednesday of the month. And of course, now Dylan is in the running for Artist of the Year. He'll be competing for that and that broadcast, again, a live broadcast presenting the Artist of the Year award, will be held in January. So you may have another chance to hear him.
I may. You know, I will get a chance to talk to one of the musicians that I've talked to this year, and there are several of them that I really look forward to getting to talk to again, and Dylan is actually one that I told him, I hope I get to talk to you again, because I just feel like, you know, it was just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more to him.
And I certainly hope we see him coming back through the MSI labs and going through the panel again, you know, having his music played, you know, in front of the panel, because good musicians should always, always submit their music to Music Scene Investigation.
And they get great prizes when they win. Dylan has gotten his microphone and was really grateful. He says he no longer uses the microphone he had before, and he's actually done a few performances with it. So he's quite happy with it.
Well, we're glad to hear that, and I will be sure to pass that on to Blue and Live to Play as both, you know, the sponsors and provider of the microphone and Music Scene Investigation's hit list. I'm sure they'll be very happy to hear that.
Yes, I like that. You know, working with all the sponsors, with MSI, with Butterflies, we're a team. So
I couldn't agree more. And a good team at that.
I think so, too. And everybody needs to tune in next week on the 11th so they can find out the new hit list winner of the month.
That's right. We have the hit list coming up September 11th. We'll find out who the next hit list winner is from our Songs of the Week from August. So tune in then. It's going to be a good time.
I look forward to it.
I do too. Hope to see you there, Kiva.
The first song of the night is the song that Dylan won the hit list with, and that's called Killer and Sin.
He grabs the bottle. Grabs the bottom with a grin. Cause in this battle, there's a killer. And in this battle, there's a sin. It's not my turn. No, 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 be another victim of defeat. Maybe I'll drink tomorrow. Pass the bottle and pour the killer in the sin. Cause there was a time before you when everyone did what you do, but I think I won't do the same. His life. Cause hell's a mystery that it used to be. And he's not coming home tonight. And it's not my turn. No, 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 to be another victim of defeat. Yeah, maybe I'll drink tomorrow. Killer in the sun. Yeah.
never wondered what you do, but I think I won't do the same.
So how are things in Canada?
Oh, good, good. The weather's good here, and, you know, it's been sunny for about a week and about 30 degrees, so.
Now, I guess, are you close to Niagara Falls? I was looking at your pictures, and.
Yeah, actually, I'm not really close, but I'm within about a three-hour drive, so I drove there for that gig there the other week.
That's cool, though, that you're, like, because it's probably like 12 hours for me to get there, and I've always, again, wanted to see Niagara Falls. And
oh, it's amazing. It's just.
My understanding is, though, you guys have the better side, so.
I think so. I think that's to my understanding. That's, yeah. It's
yeah, that ours is very touristy and just dumpy, kind of, and you guys have, like, a really nice vacation area and nice view and everything.
Yeah, get your passport and come check it out.
Yep, I think Canada's going to be the first place I go with my passport. But I definitely want to go to Niagara Falls, and I want to go to New York. I've never been to New York State, and I kind of want to do, I've traveled most of the United States, but I haven't gotten to New Mexico, Arizona, or the Northeast. So I want to go to the Northeast. I want to see what that's like, especially during the fall.
Yeah, me too.
Now, did you play a gig at the Falls?
Yeah, actually, I was playing at a restaurant called Copacabana, and it's
nice. It's
probably like one of the nicest places there. It's you know, it's just a little side gig kind of. Like, there's so much going on at that restaurant. You know, between the dancers and, you know, so we were just kind of a you know, on the side band kind of thing.
But you had a video of it, didn't you? Is that the video where you can see the water behind you? Or a picture. I saw something, and I saw you on a stage, and I could see water behind you.
Oh, no. That one's in, that one was actually where I live now. That's in Midland.
Ah, still around water. That's,
yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
Really lucky.
Yeah, there's water everywhere here. There's beaches, 100 beaches where I am right now.
Yeah, I think I saw a picture of you with a crazy-looking fish, too.
Oh, yeah, I just caught a big northern pike the other day. I love fishing. Yeah.
My son loves to fish. He does.
So that's how the summers are here. The winters aren't so good, but they're cold. But, you know, we mostly go snowboarding and do all sorts of winter stuff. So the winters we make the best of. But
do you do any ice fishing there?
Yeah, I do sometimes. It's a lot of, requires a lot of tolerance, I think, as far as patience and you know, weather and. Because you get freezing and you just sit there, right? And you wait and wait and wait. And
I can't imagine that any fish would be worth that.
I know, exactly. Okay, I'll just go.
To me, it just wouldn't be worth it at all. I want that fish to jump up on my plate and be cooked and everything. I don't want to have to go through all that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like a woodpecker. They got to work so hard for their food. You know?
And the next song is called The Saint, off the album Lockstar.
He's almost a saint.
What do you do aside from music?
Basically right now all I'm doing is music, actually. So it's going good. I'm making a pretty good living already off it. I just started doing it for a living about 2 years ago, a year and a half maybe. And then, you know, ever since then I've had a gig. Well, probably, you know, this week I got about 7 gigs, so it's a busy week.
Wow.
But the winter slows down a bit, but it's enough to sustain, you know, a living. So, and I'm only looking to get better and better. So,
and that's awesome. I mean, I know some people, you know, they have to have a day job to support the music. And then there are people who get lucky and they can do music all the time. Now, that being said, there are also people who kind of don't want to do music all the time. But you're one of the people that does.
Oh,
clearly.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I'd be doing it even if I wasn't getting paid or, you know.
Now, when did you start playing?
Well, it was kind of on and off. Like, the beauty of you know, my career is I wasn't ever forced into it or anything. I didn't even take music in high school. You know, I was never it wasn't really my main focus for a long time. Like, in high school, I wanted to be an athlete. There was all sorts of sports and stuff I was involved in. And then, I don't know, music was kind of my out for everything, you know, how if I was ever feeling down or whatever, you always got music there. It's not going anywhere. So, but anyway, I guess I started playing piano probably when I was like, you know, 10, just by ear. Like, any song on the radio, I could just play it. And then, you know, I had a really good gift for playing by ear. I could just play it right away on the piano.
I admire that tremendously because I can't read music.
I can't
read it for crap.
Exactly. It takes away some of the fun, I think, sometimes too.
So I remember Ringo Starr, because I was a big Beatles fan growing up. I remember that Ringo could not read music, you know, and to think, you know, the band that started it all.
Yeah.
You know, he played by ear. So, you know, not that Ringo's the best drummer out there, but, you know, still, everybody knows Ringo. And he managed to pull it off and do it by ear. So I think it's a talent.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel blessed to be able to do it. And then, you know, I know, of course, there's a bunch of, you know, things involved. It's not just, you know, you got to be able to play by ear, and then you got to have dedication, you got to have passion, you got to not be lazy. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of things. But the talent is is one thing. I guess the dedication and the, you know, what you do with it is another thing.
So how did you, the piano, was it in your house? Do you have family members that play music?
Well, yeah, actually, so my dad and my mom aren't actually musicians, so that's surprising. Of course, they love music, and, you know, that my mom always had music growing up, and she left when I was like 3 or 4 or something, but, you know, we've always remained in touch and that, but there was always music going, you know, playing everywhere I went and growing up, like, there was always a record on, but yeah, like, I guess we had a piano, just an upright piano when I was, you know, 4 or 5, and even then I could just pick out and play songs right away, like, you know, I don't know how far back, I wish we got some on tape and stuff, but...
That would have been good.
But yeah, my parents didn't see it coming because I guess the only musician in my family that was really, really hard into it, and I don't even know much about him at all. My mom said she'll get me a kind of a biography on him. Is my grandpa, and he was on the radio and everything, and he played like 10 instruments. He played piano, he played horns, guitar, he was a singer. And he did exactly what I'm doing right now. But I guess the alcohol got to him. Is what happened to him, so he didn't go as far as he was hoping. But so that's where it is in the bloodline, though, is my grandpa, I guess my mom's dad.
So that's very cool, though.
So yeah, sometimes it skips generations, I guess, you know.
And you know that, you know, bringing up the alcohol, that's a downside in music. That is definitely something that that can get you.
It's dominant.
Now, I'm a journalist, and I know as a journalist, that's also one of our things. It just feeds alcoholism. Yeah. I know so many people that's the crutch that they have. And going to gigs, I see a lot of people, you know, they'll buy the band shots or they'll buy them drinks. And when I go, I think, what if somebody there is a recovering alcoholic and people are just giving them alcohol?
Oh,
and how do you say no? How do you graciously say no, thank you?
Yeah, you have to be, like, that's true. You have to have a really good sense for, you know, empathy, too, and you have to consider all sorts of people might have. You don't know who has what problem out there. And, yeah, you can only really set the best example. So, yeah, I disagree with that. I mean, most of my gigs I go to, I never drink before. So I'll play for, say, you know, most of my gigs are 2 or 3 hours, so maybe the last hour, you know, I might have one drink and just sip it, but certainly nothing to abuse, you know, moderation for sure.
Right. And I've seen, I've been to different gigs, different musicians, and I've seen some that, you know, they do the moderation thing or they wait to the end. It also depends on the venue, where they're at, the crowd. And then I've seen other ones who, I don't know, somebody slips them something stronger than, or buys them something stronger than they thought they were getting, you know, and they do that shot and then they're forgetting the words to their song, but, you know, they roll with it and it's kind of funny too, so.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's kind of amusing for us.
Well, yeah, like I've done that one, but then I learned the hard way, you know, I'm always learning from everything I do. So I did that one and then I'm like, okay, don't do this, you know, so.
Yeah, let's not do that again.
Yeah.
Now, talking about this, too, it also makes me think about your song Killer and Sin. And what is that about? I know that alcohol is, you know, in the beginning of the video, that's kind of there. And I don't know if that's kind of the message there, because the video doesn't always mean what the song means.
Well, yeah, like what happened was, you know, short and sweet is I wrote the song and I had a buddy in Barrie, which is, you know, about half hour, an hour from here where I live. And he's like, hey, man, I'd love to do a video for you, you know, a mutual exposure kind of thing. And so he made that. I had nothing to do with that. I mean, personally, I'd like to direct and you know, produce lots of the videos myself because, you know, I could use my own creative thinking process towards the songs as I do to the videos. But, yeah, like you said, that one wasn't, the video kind of, you know, reflected a bit, but mainly the song was, I wrote it like 5 years ago, actually, when I was like 17. And it was mainly inspired by my dad, actually, because he drinks a lot, but he doesn't, you know, it's not like it's, you know, he works every day, all day, and then he comes home and he drinks, you know, every day. And so growing up, that was kind of, you know, his out, and then I'd go up in my room and play music. And so I guess that song was hugely inspired by my dad. I don't know. I just kind of, I had the riff, you know, first I think of the music, the bum, bum, bum,
I love that.
And then you know, I kind of wrote the words, and you know, it's kind of trial and error until you find the right melody for the right words. And yeah, I just, you know, it just poured out of me, that song. And it's, you know, sometimes I can't write at all, and then sometimes I can write, and I think that's how it goes for all writers, you know.
The next song is called She's Lost, also off Lockstar.
She was once a normal girl, a normal life, a normal world, but she didn't know anybody else. Then someone had to come along and show her how, but show her wrong, 'cause she didn't know anybody else. And so I told her where to run, but she didn't run my way. Now she's lost. Now every time you say her name, the feeling isn't quite the same as it used to be. Ain't quite the same.
A certain time or a day or an environment that that makes it easier to write?
Oh yeah, well I mean the song, you know, however you express, I mean, your mentality, I find is certainly, you know, related to your environment. So if I go out on a beach with a guitar and write a song, you know, it should only be, you know, in sync with my mood and the environment. You know, I can't, if I go out on the beach and write a song about how I'm hurt and everything, and it might not work out so well, as opposed to, you know, a song about a sunny day on the beach. And then, so yeah, like if I'm in my room and I'm feeling, you know, down and stuff, then that's what the song will be. But they have to match. You know, I find you can't feel something and write another thing, or write from something other than feeling. You can, but it just, your audience won't feel it as much, I find, if you don't.
So do you let the environment then kind of dictate where you're going to go with it, or do you seek out the environment that helps you with your mood?
Good question. Well, I've tried both ways, you know. So like the one way it works is, you know, say I'm down, I didn't expect it, a spontaneous, you know, breakup or something, then it kind of happens. But yeah, I've definitely gone and said to myself, I'm going to go find somewhere to write a song and try it. And it's worked a bit, but I'm still kind of in the midst of figuring that one out. You know, there's so many ways to write a song. And then sometimes I write a poem, and then I go to get my guitar, and I try to sing it, and then throw in some chords, and then I get my piano. And then sometimes it's kind of just gibberish. You end up jamming and, you know, say I got my guitar right here, actually. Like, I can show you quick.
Yeah.
Say, for example. I don't know. I'd just be hitting some chords. Can you hear that?
Yep.
No words yet. And then for words, I'd throw in, like, you take your time, then you take it away. You know, and I don't really have anything yet. And then you change up the chords a bit, like, never gone, the bones away, the bones. And I don't know. And then from there, you know, I'd kind of fill in the words and relative to how I feel about what that song feels, because you can't write a song with, like, minor chords that's all happy and stuff. Usually it's kind of a known thing.
Now, how long does it take you to write a song? Now, and I ask this, the questions I'm going to ask now is because, admittedly, and I tell people this if it comes up, or most of the time if it doesn't, I like music because I like it. I don't play it. I don't understand the technicalities of it like Rich from MSI does. I just have an ear for, I really like this or I don't like this. So I don't understand, like, what goes into it sometimes, and I'm always interested in finding that out because I am a writer, but writing a book or writing a story on deadline is much different than writing a song. So yeah. I'm always interested in how that goes.
Well, I think the best way to explain that, in my opinion, is that everything you kind of express has been kind of the residual outcome of things that have been expressed to you or things you've selectively picked up on. So, for example, say I listened to Queen, you know, a whole bunch, and Elton John and Billy Joel and Bob Seger, and, you know, those guys are my idols too, and obviously the Beatles. Say I listen to them for 20 years, and then I go to write a song, it's just kind of, it's obvious that it's going to be, you know, in the same alley or the same, you know, style as them. So basically, I don't believe that, you know, I do and I don't. I think it's really rare for somebody to just be born, maybe they never heard music in their life before, and they just pick something up and they can just, I think everything is something we've already previously learned. Like our bodies, you know, this little toolbox that all these tools have been taken in because we wanted them to be taken in from maybe certain songs or certain inspirations or certain feelings. And then when we let them out, like I just did, kind of in like a, not gibberish, but, you know, kind of a musical jargon, you know, form, that's definitely the expression of what's been taken in, I think, you know. So, you know, like some people, like a, you know, a, somebody that's been doing, you know, plumbing their whole life, you know, it'd be hard for them to do it because, you know, I don't know if that explains kind of, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, if I want to write and I kind of know what I want to write, I'll listen to music to kind of put me in the right writing mood.
Yeah.
But do you do that, or do you just go on the entirety of what you've always listened to, or do you listen to certain music at a certain time?
Oh, yeah, 100% certain music at a certain time. Because, I'll listen to a song. Like, today I was just listening to a Doc Watson song,
mm-hmm.
you know, called Sitting on Top of the World. And sometimes, definitely I'll put on a song and then write right after it. It's almost like mm-hmm. you're rewriting a song that you really love in your own way.
Yeah.
And that's been done millions of times. Like, even the Beatles have taken some songs previously to their, you know, era and kind of rewritten them or spiced them up, you know. So I think it's almost like, you know, like an artist, like, say, Bob Seger, you know, a song, say it's like a sentence, and then I take that sentence and rewrite the sentence in my own way. That happens a lot. Like, that's a universal writing way. Like, I heard a lot of stories about Elvis would take, you know, music from other areas of the world, like, you know, even over in Europe and stuff. He'd listen to it, and then he'd write it in English. Like, he'd write his own version. You know what I mean? Like, he'd take some melodies,
oh, yeah,
take some ideas and all that, and then, but nobody's heard of it because it's over in Europe, and, you know, so I think it's a lot easier to listen to music and then turn it off and write it right after that, especially if, well, only if you like it, you know, if it inspires you. That's why sometimes I'll hear a really good song I like, and then I'll just be like, stop, like, turn that off, and then I'll get my own idea from that song, you know.
So it doesn't overly influence you, and it still is kind of yours, just,
yeah,
coming from there?
Yeah, I find that, yeah, for sure. I mean, it can't sound really like it, otherwise you're just, you know, stealing their song.
Next up is called Don't Stumble, also off the album Lockstar.
I'm trying, but a part of me is dying when a cold heart moves. Only you I am relying on to kick my shoes up and out of my way. When it comes, when it goes, what I'm trying to say is it's difficult, cause all my words are lyrical. I try to fall in love, but the love becomes a miracle. I'm sitting in my room, paint by pen and a guitar. I take a second look at what I want, and there you are. Cause I love the way that you watch me, and I love the way that you live your life. Oh, I should have talked a bit sooner, for that I'll never forget. Then the table started tipping. If you're gonna give a sign that you like me or not, stay in here, shed a tear, say you like me a lot. Oh, I'm wondering, the weather's really thundering. I wrote a note inside a code of love of X's under. And I'm tired of this and every other word. Can't stop stumbling but flying like a bird. Cause I love the way that you want me, and I love the way that you live your life. Oh, I should have talked a bit sooner.
Still trying to find my style. I don't know if you've heard other songs that I've done on I don't know, SoundCloud or anything.
Yeah, I did hear a couple of them. Yeah.
Well, there's this
one. And I heard your cover yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's this one that it's called "Gonna Be Okay," And it's it starts out with like harmonies and stuff. And it's got that kind of a, it's like you wake up in the morning and you start your simple day, thinking all the times you got to give yourself away. Someone in your heart is gonna lose, that kind of thing. So it's completely different from, you know, the Killer and the Sin. So a lot of, you know, well, obviously most producers in that will argue with me and say you need a style, like there's no, you don't have a consistent, they all need to sound like this, you know, and that's usually how it goes. So I don't know if I'm either finding myself or I just prefer to write songs like that, and then songs, you know, like Killer and the Sin.
I think that's what I like about indie artists as opposed to
mainstream,
is because, you know, they have the studios and they have the labels telling them this is what you're going to record, this is what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And I like the honesty of indie music, and it's just kind of what speaks to your heart and what speaks to your soul.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it comes out that way, and I think that it's just more genuine. I interviewed another Canadian musician from Vancouver Island last year, and she's a folk singer, and then she recorded a children's album. It was very, you know, I love that she had the ability to do that. She didn't have somebody saying, hey, you can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, because she won awards with both styles of music. So I like that, and I like that you are so open to whatever it is and not limiting yourself to what a sound is, because who knows what touches you this week or what touches you this year as you grow from your experiences. So just be open to whatever the sound is.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah. Like I think it's a certain skill, or maybe not skill, but open mind, or it's a certain sense you have to have. You know, it all comes back to, you know, opinion and judgment and this and that and who likes what, and, you know, but when I go and play gigs, like I have a gig tonight at the Library Restaurant, I'll have all sorts of requests, you know, like, you know, one guy will come up to me and tell me to play a special song by Pink Floyd or something, and then I'll play that. And then another guy will come up and say, can you play Bruno Mars, you know, and obviously all these people have their own personal, you know, songs almost belong to people, they find, you know, it's like yours. So to be able to, you know, I think you only have to look at that as an artist. That's the only way to look at it and consider that, you know, what's my target? You know, who am I trying to target and inspire? And basically anybody who gets inspired, or I'm not trying to find people and go, you know, what do you like? And more so just from experience from playing a lot. But mm-hmm. I think it's definitely, there's an edge you have to have, and you have to be willing to, you know, I'll listen to Screamo. I got buddies that show me Screamo. A lot of my buddies listen to just rap and all that. And I do like some, you know, I spit some verses and stuff, you know, I cover some Eminem and all that. So I'm always open to anything.
But I like that you just do what's true to you, and the right people will find you, the right crowd. And, you know, I think as a musician, you have to be open, but I like it when fans are open too. And now I find myself, you know, going to gigs, covering stuff for Indie News at Noon on top of doing this for Butterflies.
Yeah.
And I don't listen to just one genre. And I have to be open to listening to others. And again, I think that helps me, not knowing the technical side.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sitting there analyzing, you know,
oh, yeah,
this chord's being hit wrong or whatever. I just know if it feels good.
Yeah, no, I think like you said, it's good to have the perspective of not the technical side. I think a lot of musicians, a lot of artists at any craft, they get lost in the technicalities and all this, you know, like, you forget. Stevie Wonder even said, once you learn everything, I think it was Stevie Wonder or Ray Charles, or once you learn all the technicalities and everything, you got to learn to just forget it all, you know, and just play the music, you know, don't, because it's only tools. Like, when you practice your craft, you know, when I practice guitar or piano or trumpet or any instrument, harmonica or whatever it is, I'm trying to connect my body's physical capabilities, it's, you know, my muscle memory, everything, with my mind's musicality. So in my mind, there's no doubt that I have the music, you know, and I can, you know, a lot of people have the music in the mind, but your body's physical capabilities, like if I can't play on the guitar strings physically what my mind is telling me to, then there's going to be no expression for people to hear. So that's all it is. I try to look at it like that. Is, you know, a lot of the music is already in your head before you sit down at an instrument. That's how the instrument's just there to express it with that certain tone or whatever it is, I think. So it's all in the head, I think, all.
And now my choice song of the week, one of the new songs by Dylan. It's called Gonna Be Okay.
Start your simple day, thinking of the times you've got to give yourself away. If someone in your heart is gonna hold you through the pain, to let you know it's gonna be okay. You can't quite seem to run, so you begin at your own.
Have you toured before?
No, I haven't even toured yet. So, no, I mean, I've toured a lot on my own in the van, doing gigs everywhere and driving around and stuff, but not officially like a tour, you know, where I'm scheduled for concerts everywhere or something. I'm still kind of just branching. I'm still progressing. I'm just at that level now where, you know, things are going to get going, I think, pretty soon.
And I think you have to go at your own pace, too. Again, that's the beauty of being an indie artist and not under a label.
Exactly.
Is you don't have somebody going, I need an album now, and in 3 months you got to go on the road, and then I need an album 2 months after that. You just do it when it feels right.
Yeah, exactly. It's beautiful. That's one of my favorite things about music. There's no rules, you know, until you sign a contract or something.
And again, I think that's what I really love about indie music, and I'll get people that don't understand it, and they're like, what's indie music? And I said, it just means they don't have a label.
Yeah.
I know a lot of them, like I listened to the VMAs last year, not this year, last year, and it was total shit to the point that I was like, I can't listen to this. You know, it's horrible, and the people we have on our station are better than the people that are playing the VMAs. And I think that that's something that's fairly new, you know, within the past couple of decades,
yeah,
where YouTube has come about and social media, and it's allowed people who maybe wouldn't have gotten a contract before because things were so limited, you know, and who they'd market, that they wouldn't reach out to those people. And now people have a voice who maybe didn't before.
Yeah. 100% on that. Like, you don't know Kenny and Spenny, the show, do you?
No.
Well, it's a show called Kenny and Spenny. It's really, really big in Canada. But this guy, Kenny Hotz, the show is basically just these two people that do a series of competitions against each other, and one cheats and one doesn't. It's battle versus good and evil. It's good symbolic references and stuff, and it's a really good laugh. But anyway, the point is, Kenny Hotz, what he does now is once that show got launched, they did about 6 seasons, and now he's really well known. So he does promoting, and he finds kind of indie artists online, and then he makes a mutual agreement where he monetizes the videos, which means he'll put his own advertisements before mine. But at mm-hmm. the same time, his buddy, do you know South Park? You've heard of South Park?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Kenny Hotz is done a bit of help in writing with Matt Stone and Trey Parker. So
okay.
he's a really funny guy. Well, that if you like that kind of comedy. He emailed me, which was pretty friggin' awesome to get an email from him. And he watched my YouTube videos, and he likes it, and he wants to work with me. So I just kind of signed up with their team. It's nothing really big. It's just small promotion. You know, it'll increase my views a lot on YouTube, and get a lot more exposure and stuff. I think that's.
But you know what? It's baby steps, and it's for a reason. Everything's for a reason.
Yeah.
So this is the path that you're supposed to be on, and exactly. you're going the way you're supposed to go.
Exactly, and there's no other way to look at it.
Yep, you can't question it, and that's been a hard thing for me to learn. Is, maybe it's not where I want to be, when I want to be, but it's for a reason. And I know that later on, but I don't always know it in the moment.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't agree with you more on that one. It's almost like, you know, I was watching an Eagles documentary the other day, and I think it wasn't Joe Walsh, it might have been Joe Walsh, but he explained how he just had the biggest, you know, epiphany. He had the best way to explain it. I had the biggest epiphany when he said it. He said that life seems so spontaneous, and you don't get it in the moment, and that this and that. He said it a bit better than I'm saying it, of course. And then he said, when you look back on it, it seems like a perfectly written novel, and you know, there's chapters, and everything's so meant to be, and it's like you could do a documentary on your life, but in the moment it doesn't seem like that. And he said it like that, and that really hit me pretty hard when he said that. But
and the last song of the night is called When the Time Comes.
Repeat the haiku in my head for you. When the sky is falling,
Now, I always ask two questions, and one is kind of touring, and I know you haven't toured, but you can still, because you played gigs, you could tie it into that. It's, do you have any good stories from the road? They don't have to be well-behaved ones. They don't have to be always, I like people if there's, you know.
Okay, well, I mean, this one that, I have tons of stories. I mean, maybe I'm not that great picking them out of the top of my head, but I could think of, well, this one time, I guess I was driving and we were in a rush to my gig and we're about halfway there and it was local, so it was pretty close by. This is just like a month ago and I don't know how this happened possibly, but the van door was open halfway and we turned a corner and my keyboard went flying out the door onto the road.
Oh no.
And it was a really big gig and I was hoping it would work and it worked, you know, so that wasn't that big a problem. I have a pretty cool, here's another one that now, you know, this is a better one here. I guess 2 years ago on Halloween when I started doing this, I was on my bike and I was biking home from work and it's kind of related to music because it's really the week I started doing music and I stopped working. But I was biking home from work and it was a restaurant. I was doing busing and I was doing music on the side and I was in a hurry. And you know, since this moment, I miss, other than the van incident with the keyboard, I really slowed down in life and I took a breath and I realized you're always in the right place at the right time. There's no need to hurry anything. But anyway, I was biking down on my bike and then the light comes up, the street light, and it's a pretty dead area. I didn't think there was anyone coming. There's a building on my right blocking my view. So I'm biking through the intersection, light's about to change, and I don't see any cars. And out of nowhere, I look to the right and there's a truck and it just... it just pommels me, like it T-bones me. I get sucked. This is 2 years ago. I got sucked right under the truck.
Oh my goodness!
And somehow, you know, miraculously, I didn't break a single bone. I was walking, you know, within a few days.
Wow!
But it just brushed by the tire, brushed by my face, and the top of the truck brushed my hair. If the truck was any lower, you know, it wouldn't have been good. But the potential of the accident, I somehow ended up right in the middle of the truck underneath. And my bike was up the road in like 60 parts, like all bent frames and everything. And I just shot right back up and ran to the side of the road. And then after a day in the hospital, I just kind of said to myself, like, I'm just going to be a musician, you know. And like, I don't know, everything, the way I looked at everything was different. I still get really tense at intersections and stuff, but.
Now, one more question.
Yeah.
I always ask people if it's where they lived, if it's where they vacationed, where they toured. If somebody was coming to town, if a band was touring or coming through there, or somebody listens to the shows vacationing or somewhere you've been, where would you tell them they had to eat and why?
Ooh, I love that question.
Yeah, because I'm really big on eating locally wherever I go. I want to enjoy whatever
the locals do.
100%.
I know exactly what you mean. I always ask any friends that go on a vacation, I'm always like, well, how's the food? What did you eat? What's in the sauce? How do they make the sauce? You know, good question. Well, there's a place in Midland called the Explorers Cafe, and I think that's a great name, the Explorers Cafe. And they always have a theme, you know, every week or every month, whether it's Thai, they'll have, you know, Chinese.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so they're always having different themes, but then they have consistent items on the menu too. But you know, everything from sea cow to you know, different curries and all sorts of stuff, and they're so nice. They're actually rated, I think, one of the best restaurants in Canada. We have a few fortunate places, actually, around here to eat. So I'd recommend the Explorers for reasons of cultures. They have all sorts of cultures, culture food. It's just a great place to go, the Explorers Cafe.
I want to thank everybody for spending their Labor Day evening with me on the Indieviews Artist Spotlight and for listening to Dylan Locke and his music. Be sure and tune in to MSI to see who the next winner Song of the Week is going to be. And On the 11th, they're going to name who the next Hit List winner is. So I'm excited to see who's coming up next. Dylan, thank you so much. And tune into Twitter Tuesday Live tomorrow night. Come back next Monday for my show with MK Ultra.